Good morning, everyone. Been a long time since we've been on the catechism. We're going to be on question five again. We're going to be in this this week and next week as well. Kind of recap what we talked about last time. The question was, how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Answer, the Bible evidences itself to be God's Word by the heavenliness of its doctrine, the unity of its parts, its power to convert sinners and to edify saints. But the Spirit of God only bearing witness by and with the Scriptures in our hearts is able fully to persuade us that the Bible is the Word of God. We've been through 4 points, so first, just to give a brief recap, God's wisdom is revealed to us by His Scripture. Secondly, it is God who gives understanding of His Word. Third, that salvation was foretold in the Old Testament. And fourthly, the unity of the Old in the New Testament. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank You for the day, Lord. We thank You for the opportunity, dear Lord, even in the midst of all this devastation in our region right now, Lord, that we still have a building to come to, dear God. We have electricity. We have air conditioning this morning, Lord. We're truly a blessed people. Lord, we pray for Your presence this morning, Lord. We pray in Psalms 119, Lord, that You would open our understanding this morning, and that You would reveal to us hidden things in Your Word, Lord. Oh God, we pray for Your presence this morning. We pray for Your help, Lord. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted today, Father. Let us be abased and look unto You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Acts chapter 18 this morning and go through our fifth proof text. Acts chapter 18, verse 28. And we're going to look here that the Scripture proves that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul speaking here in verse 28, it says, "For he mightily, with his preaching, convince the Jews in that publicly showing by the Scriptures," being the Old Testament Scriptures, "that Jesus was the Christ." Jesus is the fulfillment of all that was foretold in the Old Testament. Let's look it back at Acts chapter 13, Paul preaching again here. And I'd like you to see something here that really just opened my understanding to this. In verses 26 through 39, Paul preaching here, he was saying, "Men and brethren, and children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, that they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." And pay attention to 29 right here. "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up from with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promises which was made unto their fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalms, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said, on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he hath served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw no corruption. But he, whom God raised again, saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Everything, it just really jumped off at me that they did everything that was written of him. Our sixth proof text this morning, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll look here how the Word of God convicts and judges. Very familiar scripture. 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We see here that the Word of God is quick or alive. It is the living Word, powerful to convict us of sin, and a discerner. It exposes and judges us, our thoughts and our intentions. And I think about the term the living Word. It just brings to memory John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, this Word which is Christ, this Word that we read. The living Word being Christ, that it became flesh and dwelt among us. And we get to behold this. We get to read this. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's look at verses 24 through 25 and the aspect of the Word convicting and judging. And Paul talking here to the church of Corinthians about how they should act in church service. Actually, let's start in verse 23. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy or speak the word of God, the scripture, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Let's look at John chapter 2. Seeing the discernment of the living Word. John chapter 2, verses 23 through 25. And it says, now when he was in Jerusalem, speaking of Jesus, at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name. And when they saw the miracles which he did. So just in context right here, they really did not have a saving faith right here. They believed because of what they saw by the miracles, and that's what they were entertained by that. That's why they wanted to follow. But verse 24 right here says, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He was a discerner of the intent and heart of man. The seventh proof text right here, which will be our last one this morning, is in Psalm chapter 19. And we'll see here that the scripture has the power to change us. Psalm chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The scripture has power to convert the soul, to make wise the simple, and to rejoice the heart, and to enlighten the eyes. Let's look at the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 2 concerning this. About wisdom. Start verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgments, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Let's look also at our last verse this morning. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll see here how the scripture had power to change Paul. 9-10. And I want you to notice here how Paul doesn't take any credit for any of this. He talks about the grace of God. That's where the power came from him. Verse 9, it says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, it was gifted unto him, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." I know personally in the last few weeks, my faith, my patience, everything has been tested. And just to be an open book with y'all, I've failed miserably. I've gotten the flesh. I've disrespected my Lord, and I've asked for forgiveness, and I've repented of it. But the hope that I have is this scripture, because I could turn to passages that say that even when I am not faithful, yet he abideth faithful. For he cannot deny himself. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in him, and we are secure. Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. Oh, my God, I thank you that you abide faithful, Lord. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that you came in flesh, Lord, and accomplished what we could not accomplish. That we have a high priest that knows exactly what we're going through. Because you went through it, Father, and you accomplished it for us. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you so much for your salvation, Lord. We lift up the rest of this Lord's Day, God. That you would be with the prayer time and the Sunday school with the children, Lord, and in the main services, all. morning, Lord. We pray for your spirit to be upon the preaching this morning, dear God. Oh, feed us by your word again today, Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Christ's name, I ask these things. Amen.